Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. And today we are going to do something amazing, especially for people who are taking care of someone they love that is sick, and specifically of someone that has some sort of dementia like Alzheimer's or any kind of debilitating disorder where they cannot take care of themselves. So basically, they need a caretaker, and that's who we're talking to today. We're talking to caretakers that are either just found out that they were they had to take care of someone, they were just diagnosed, or someone that has been doing it for a long time. And our guest today, we are so lucky to have Betsy Wurzel with us, because she is a caretaker that has taken care of more than one person. And that is something beyond the ability, because I've been taking care of one person and I don't think I will ever do that again, of course, unless I have no choice. So let me welcome Betsy to Tippy Talk. And Betsy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Tippy. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure and an honor to talk to you.
Ooh, I like that. Being put on a pedestal. Very nice. Very, very nice. I am really glad you were able to talk to us tonight, because I think the subject that we're talking about today is really important for everyone, not just for caretakers, for everyone that might have, that is in a situation that they really do have to be strong, and they really do. Actually, they really are strong, or they wouldn't even be able to handle that situation. There's no way that you can go through something so difficult and so excruciatingly life-changing if you are not strong. Well, actually, you could go through it and have kind of nervous breakdowns every day, I guess, but then you wouldn't last very long, and then you also wouldn't be a very effective caretaker. So why don't you tell us exactly what are we going to talk about today?
I'm going to talk about embracing your feelings. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Embracing your feelings. So basically what you're saying, if I feel like shit, then I should just go with it.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me about
it. Yes, you're better off. I, Tippy, have been a caregiver for most of my life, and I am now taking care of my husband, which was and is the hardest of than my mother-in-law or taking care of my dad.
Why is it the hardest?
I think it's the relationship. The relationship is just different between a child and a parent. or in-law versus a spouse or a partner.
Okay, that makes sense. Definitely a different relationship.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you.
I was very stressed out. I was working 40 hours a week at the time. And I take care of my son also, who has special needs. And I was feeling like I should be the superhuman woman, not entitled to grieve, not entitled to feel sad or feel how I felt. And I was really near the end of my rope, and I was snapping at the children that I was working with, and I didn't even realize.
Which children? Tell us about the children.
I work in a preschool, and the children are anywhere at that time from 2 years to 6 years old.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yes. So you were snapping at those poor little children.
Yes. And I was really stressed out because I couldn't accept that my husband was progressing, even though I knew what to expect. And I felt that I didn't have a right to feel the way that I was feeling. And I didn't embrace how I felt. So I was strung out with my nerves and how I felt that I was snapping at the kids. And I was snapping at home too. Snapping at Josh or snapping at Nat. And I almost had a nervous breakdown because of it. So if you don't embrace your feelings.
What was going on around you that made you feel that way, if you remember specifically?
I felt that I had to be, I don't know why I had this notion, because, you know, people tell you to be strong. And I felt that I had this image, I guess you could say, of being this superwoman, wearing the cape. I got to take care of the home, go to work. I'm not entitled to feel how I feel. And if you don't embrace how you feel, it's going to bite you in your butt. It's going to come back to haunt you. And it did. It sure did.
So what was going on at home at the time? Was that right after you found out the diagnosis for your husband?
Oh, it was like 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, we were 5 years into it. And that was progressing. And I had to get his clothes out. And all of a sudden, he couldn't get himself undressed and dressed. And I was like, well, why can't you? Why can't you do that? You just did it. Why can't you see the water bottle in front of you? And I didn't realize that they can lose skills overnight. I mean, I should have realized it because I started with my mother-in-law. But for some reason, I didn't think that Matt should lose his skills overnight. It wasn't acceptable to me.
Right,
or that he couldn't see what was in front of him.
So you went to work. You snapped at those poor little innocent children. And what happened?
They must have thought I was mean, Miss Betsy. My director pulled me into the office, and she said, Betsy, you are so stressed out that I'm cutting your hours. You need to take time for you. You need to, after work, just I'm cutting your hours down. I was thinking about getting my hours cut down, but I didn't want it that drastically cut down from 40 to 25. But it was the best thing that ever happened, Tippy, because she cut my hours down. I got to spend more time at home. I got to do like shopping after work. And I went for physical therapy and I went for counseling. And I highly recommend counseling to sift through this crap that we have to go through. And it is so beneficial. It was so beneficial to me. I mean, if somebody doesn't have insurance, go to your local town and see what they have to offer. Go to a teaching hospital and see if they have it on a sliding scale according to what you earn, or they even have charity care. They can't. I don't think they can refuse you. I really don't. Mm-hmm. A hospital could refuse you if you need help.
Right. You're right. You might be right. So,
excuse me.
What do you feel about people telling you to be strong?
I don't like it. I find it very upsetting, and I'll tell you why. I feel that I am a strong person. I work when I'm sick. I work when I have a bad migraine. I work when I've been up all night pumping out water. I do everything in the home. And for someone to tell me I have to be strong, that's an insult to me. Because then it's
right.
like I'm not good enough. And how
right.
strong do you have to be? We're human. And I'm entitled
well,
to cry,
right?
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you cry a lot?
It depends, actually. I did. This week, I did. Sometimes the grief just hits me like a sledgehammer. I see the difference between my husband between last year and this year, especially
right.
now. I mean, it's really progressing, and it's
right.
heartbreaking. And then, yeah, I'm going to. I just realized today, Tippi, actually, that
yeah.
I was crying, but I wasn't feeling defeated. I was actually feeling victorious, which maybe
wow,
sounds
wonderful.
Strange. Because
yeah,
I was yeah, I felt victorious because I embraced my feeling, I acknowledged how I felt, and I moved on. I cried, I acknowledged my grief, I embraced it, and I said to the young girl I was working with, I don't feel defeated. I'm acknowledging my grief. I am losing somebody. And that's okay. And so because after this journey is over, I'm going to kick Alzheimer's rear end. And that's my vision. That's my focus.
Right. That's beautiful. I think that's really beautiful because repressing your feelings. Have you ever repressed your feelings?
Oh, yes. I repressed it, and that's
what happened?
How, yeah, you could break like a twig. When you let anger, resentment, hostility, grief get the better of you, it will break you. It will destroy you, actually. It will, it's a meat grinder. It will chew you up and spit you out.
Right.
And I had to learn.
Like.
Mm-hmm. I had to learn to let go. I say let it go and let it flow. I had to learn to let go of a lot of things. And with therapy and talking to other people, I learned to. And actually this year, 2019, I feel it's my most blessed year of my life. Even with this
wow.
turmoil of my husband declining, I feel so blessed with meeting people such as you, Tippi. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And other women who have inspired me and encouraged me and just let me know that your circumstances or your past doesn't have to define your present or your future.
Mm.
And somebody, you know, just having confidence in me, a belief in me, and to guide me is so incredible to me. It's so touching to me that I do feel blessed. I started my Kick Alzheimer's Ass movement group. Mm. And that was a vision. And everything that's going on, meeting such great people this year, I do feel blessed amongst the cesspool of dementia.
Wow. That reminds me of something that I heard, that the challenges and the things that seem to be the worst thing that ever happened to you only end up being the best thing that ever happened to you, because that's why they happen, to sharpen you into the best you can. Because if you want to be a diamond, you've got to be willing to be cut. And that's life. And I think what you said is really profound, because you said, embrace it, embrace what's happening, bring it on, and that's the way you can triumph over it.
Yes, and I heard something very interesting yesterday on YouTube. It has to do with being an empath. That when you go through hard times, it's making you a better person, making you more aware of your gifts. And that is so true. This is what has happened to me on this journey with Alzheimer's. I learned more about myself. I learned about my gifts. I am now embracing my gifts and the power that I have, that I had all along, and my strength. And it's made me a better person. And when you help other people, you are helping yourself. And we do not have to be a victim of our circumstances. And I won't be a victim.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly my point. You can choose what
yes.
you want to be. And choosing to be a victim, honestly, I know how that feels, because I've chosen to be a victim many times. And I've chosen to
Me
feel
too.
Sorry for myself many times. And when you go past that mentality and you finally realize that it is a choice, that it's not something that you're helplessly being thrown around. It's something that you are able to get over, everything changes. Everything changes. It looks like everything changed for you when you realized that.
Yes, it sure did. This year was a huge turning point. You know, it's so ironic to be, and it's almost comical. I mean, I can see the irony and the comedy of this. That as
right.
things get worse with Matt, I'm feeling more blessed in other ways. I'm feeling like a better person, a stronger person. Even as he is getting progressing and he's declining, I feel
right.
victorious.
Right.
And that I'm not going to let this situation bring me down. I have a mission. I have a vision in front of me. And
yes.
I am looking forward, you know, to life after caregiving. And mm-hmm. I think we should talk about caregivers. It's okay. Talk about life after caregiving. Why don't we embrace the circle of life and death as part of that circle of life? Why don't we embrace it instead of hiding from it and running away from it? Why can't we welcome it as
because
a part of life?
The fact of the matter is that it is a part of life, exactly. That's the fact of the matter. There's no getting around that one. We're all going there. So it sounds to me like you took a really bad situation and you turned it into a really good situation. You know, like how did Shirley MacLaine used to say? Yeah, you took a lemon and turned it into lemonade.
Yes, I've heard that expression, yes.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And because you did that, the tremendous amount of growth that you experience could be a little bit overwhelming, but I think you can handle it. And when you go through that kind of growth, when you go through that kind of exponential leap out of your life, you start attracting people that support that. You start attracting people that support you and that help you, because people are out there wanting to support you, wanting to help you, but you can't attract them to you when you're in a mode of, oh, I feel so sorry for myself, poor me. Basically, you're a victim. When you're a victim, you attract more victims around you.
Exactly.
And obviously.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Exactly right. And I actually heard that yesterday on YouTube. It's so funny you said it.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. Very amazing. So you pulled yourself up and you said, okay, I'm going to kick this in the ass as per your movement. And once you decided to do that, all of a sudden, all these people came into your life and supported you in doing exactly what you wanted to do.
Yes.
That's incredible. That's amazing. Which once again proves the law of attraction.
Yes, it was really incredible, because I was going to wait and start this until after my caregiving journey. And then someone said to me, why would you wait when it's your passion? And, of course, I go into my anxiety attack. I can't do this. I'm not a leader, blah, blah, blah. I start doubting myself.
Right.
And then talking about karma, whatever you want to call it, somebody I met in a group, she came to me and said, Betsy, I want to help you start this. And her own sister was dying. And in her own grief, she wanted to do something positive. She wanted to take her sister dying and do something in her memory and to help herself and other people. And she said, Betsy, when you have more time, you know, you can do more, but just let me help you start this. And then all of a sudden, all these people came to help me.
Right.
It's
amazing.
And I'm honored. I mean, I really am deeply honored, grateful, and blessed.
And you understand now how the cycle works. So now you can do it on so many levels, so many different things. It doesn't have to stick just to this. Like, for example,
right.
I'm going to use this example because I think this one is important to you. You don't have to live your life pumping rain water every time it rains.
Exactly.
How, it doesn't matter, but that could be a vision. So basically anything in your life that may feel uncomfortable could be a vision of a challenge to overcome.
Yes. You can either sink or you're going to swim.
Right.
And
now you want to swim.
Yes. Yes, and I have to say this in honor of my father, Howard Wurzel.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would say to me, Betsy, you had to roll with the punches. I didn't know what he meant back then, but I know now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it as a child, but I definitely do as an adult. When life hands you punches, you had to roll with it. You had to be fluid. You had to be flexible. You have to let things roll off your back. And especially with dementia, you have to be flexible, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy. Whatever your routine used to be, you're going to have to change. That's what's hard to be, change. Accepting change and your routine, well, my routine, is very hard to change and hard to accept. And I was resenting it. And that was the hostility. And then I had an epiphany. I said to myself, Nobody wants to be like this. Matt didn't ask for this. I will eventually gain my independence. Matt will never gain his independence. And that was like a aha moment for me. And putting things in perspective. And that was profound for me.
Yes. So it sounds like you've had a lot of profound moments.
Yes. Yeah. Alzheimer's will, or any other dementia, or any, I guess, a difficult situation will either make you or break you. You're either going to be a better person or you're going to be bitter. But the choice is up to us, the individual. And nobody can make it better for us but ourselves. Nobody could give us a positive mindset but ourselves. It's a choice. And is it easy? No. It's a battle for me every day to wake up and to be positive. It's hard sometimes. It really is. But I have to. I have to be positive. I will not let this mofo disease get the best of me again. And that's my attitude.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end a story that I think is taking you to places right now that you cannot even imagine. That's my prediction. Thank you so much. And
dare
I say, be brave?
Yeah. Yes, I need to be brave. Yes, I like that. Great, Tippy. I love that. Be brave, not be strong. Be brave. I love it.
Exactly.
Better. I like that.
You are. You have grown. You have been very strong also, and you've been very brave. And we appreciate that. And we want to hear a lot more from you about the Kick Alzheimer's in the Ass movement and all the other amazing ideas that are still to come from your head. Go for it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for everything you do, Tippy, in helping me. I really appreciate it. I really consider an honor, and I could never thank you enough for encouraging me and helping me. It means a lot to me.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to Tippy Talk with me, Tippy Feldenstein, and my amazing guest, Betsy Wurzel. Now go take on the day. Thank you.